G'day everyone, it's Matt Taylor here for 12,000 Ks from Hollywood. Tonight I am joined by singer-songwriter from The Styx, River Lane, also known as Emma Schluter. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, how are you?
I'm pretty good, good. We were just discussing ISO life before, and both are quite excited to hear that things are sort of going to go back to normal, I guess, on Monday. But, well, reasonably, within the things will start to be lifted on Monday. But I'm really keen to know, how has this affected, how has this impacted you as a muso? How are you guys going with all this sort of stuff?
Well, obviously we can't go out and do gigs at the moment, so that's completely different.
Yeah.
But, like, these days everything's like online anyway. So I think it's probably the best time for me to get started in all the social media aspects of things anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about that the other day that, you know, I think when all this stuff started to happen in March, when it all started to gather some momentum, I thought, geez, how are the musos going to go with this sort of stuff? And then about, I don't know, 3 seconds later, I thought, hang on, like, I'm pretty sure musos have just dominated YouTube. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
Like, they've dominated all platforms of social media. So I'm like, they'll be fine.
Like, yeah.
I mean, they won't get paid gigs, but they'll at least be able to keep their presence up, you know?
Yeah, well, I think they're reaching more people because you're like, I'm going online and I'm going live.
Yeah.
You know, 5 minutes and you can get like people all around the world watching, whereas a gig you can get like, you know, sometimes 5 people.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Especially if it's like the, you know, if it's like a Wednesday night open mic night or something, like yeah. You know, you'll be lucky to get just a few old mates in the front bar.
Yeah, just my parents normally.
Have you been doing that? Have you been doing the live stream sort of music, or have you just been sort of pre-recording and then uploading stuff, or what?
I've just been pre-recording at the moment. I did my first ever live stream the other day, and yeah. it was for my dad's birthday, and he went for a ski. But I just, you know, put my toes in and see how it feels going live.
Yeah, yeah. Is it a weird experience?
Yeah, it's when you pre-record things, you're like, oh, I've stuffed up, I'll start from the beginning. It's live. Yeah, anything can go wrong.
Yeah, you've got like absolute control over that stuff. Yeah, no, I understand that. Hence why I'm pre-recording all of this stuff.
Yeah.
just in case.
I get that.
So I want to dive straight in with our chat here, because I'm really interested. I want to talk music. I want to talk Adelaide. I want to talk Adelaide music. I want to talk all those things. And you're the first musician I've had so far. So congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
thank you.
Had a whole bunch of actors and filmmakers, and now I've moved across into musos. So
yeah.
You know, I went straight to the contacts and I was like looking for who I could have a chat to. And I thought, well, you and I, we have a good chat sometimes about the you know, your journey thus far and the state of play in Adelaide. So I thought I'll hit you up first and we'll set the bar for the rest of them.
I'll put that on my resume.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Appeared in some dude's podcast.
Yep, awesome. I'll take that.
So let's go... All right, let's get stuck into this. Let's start with how I start with everyone, of where the hell did this all come from for you? How did you get into this? When did the bug bite you? When did you realize, hey, I'm actually not bad at this, and decide to do this, you know, more than just behind closed doors in the shadow of the night?
Well, so I've always played music, but yeah, it was always behind closed doors. I don't think I sang in front of anyone until I was 21.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I've been doing my whole life, singing in the car. I'm not really sure where the confidence came from. It's just something that I've always wanted to do. And I've always just sort of like had different career options, but they never worked out. But I always had music. That was always like the constant.
Yeah.
So I thought, might as well give it a go. So I did singing lessons for a company and they put a performance on at the end of the year.
Okay.
So I had to perform and it was in front of like 100 people.
Right. What was the company?
I think it was called Talent Works.
Okay. And it was like was it like a musical or like a showcase or something at the end?
Showcase.
Oh, right. Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So my parents came to that like, oh, God, can she sing? We don't know. Yeah. then no one booed, so I was like, all right, cool. He's got some little bit of talent.
So you didn't start really like singing or I guess singing publicly until you said you were 21. How old are you now? Do you mind if I ask?
27.
Oh, 27. Okay. Yep. All right. You're a bit older than I thought you were.
Oh, thanks.
It's all right. Not much older, but I had you pegged at 25. But
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So since sort of coming out going, all right, guys, I'm coming out, I'm a singer. you've had about 6 years now of being, I guess, out there in the public sphere, I guess, of being a musician, you know, live gigs and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's been a massive learning curve. Like, just I had no idea about the recording side of things, how to get gigs. I did lose a lot of money to start with because I just went with someone that knew that I was a beginner and sort of took advantage of that. But it's all everything has gotten to me where I am today, and I think I'm finally at the point where I'm like, all right, I know what I'm doing, I know what I want to say, this is happening.
Well, that's okay. That's interesting. There's quite a few things there I want to unpack and try and talk about a little bit. But I guess to wind it all the way back a little bit more to where did you start here? Like whereabouts were you? I did say right at the very start there that you're from the sticks. Now you are originally rural, yeah?
Yeah, from Manham up at the river.
Yeah, pretty
which
much.
Actually explains the name River Lane, who's the street that we grew up on. So
right, that was going to be the next question for people who are not familiar with Manham.
Yeah,
I mean, if you are familiar with Manham at all, you will know where River Lane is generally, because it's one of a handful of streets in the town,
and it's on the river.
Exactly, and it's such an original name, like. This is the lane alongside the river.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, and that's the namesake. That's where it came from for you.
Yeah. It's also the town where I sort of had my first pub gig as well. Because I knew the people that own the pubs, so that, and I found a bunch of other musicians in the town through doing that. They would message me and said, "Oh, I really like this showcase you've been putting on." So then that's how I became, you know. That was my first sort of gig and how I found other musicians and started a band from there. And yeah, it was good.
So, okay. So I was gonna ask that question about how you sort of, I guess, you know, you're kind of like, okay, cool. I can sing. I didn't get booed. This went okay. That my secret's out now. Everyone knows I'm a secret singer. And so you start to think about doing some, you know, live shows or doing a live gig and just trying to get a little bit of I want to say street cred, but that's probably the wrong genre of music.
No, it works.
Yeah, you want to sort of start to build your profile. That's what I'm looking for. Build your profile. And so you hit up. So do you approach the local pub? Are we talking the Pretoria here, or Beaches across the road, or?
Beaches. So yeah. Bottom pub.
Right. Yeah, the bottom pub.
Yeah.
For people that need to know, you got the bottom pub, and you also have like the top baker, the bakery at the top, and then there's the bakery at the bottom or something like that. Is at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You it's got, more than one of everything.
Exactly, and so you're limited to say it's at the top or the bottom.
Yep.
So you hit them up, you approached them. Is that how you that came about, that first gig for you?
Yeah, well, I was actually on the social club for the bottom pub. So I think we were just drinking one day and I was like, hey, I sing now. Can I come over? That's
as many good business transactions.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. So you sort of got your foot in the door there and you had your first sort of gig. You're still 21 at this point?
What's that, sorry?
You're still 21 at this point?
Yes. Yes,
right.
I was.
Right. And what was that, I guess, what was that experience like for you? I'm assuming you were playing by yourself, yeah?
I actually had a friend, Ryan, or Bish, his nickname is, come up and
shout
play
out
with me.
Bish. That's Mr. Bish to you.
Yeah, or Bishop if you want to be formal.
Mm-hmm,
Yeah, he
his
played.
His mother calls him Bishop, I'm sure.
He played with me, so I wasn't alone. So, but there was, I think, two other musicians that played before me as well. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. All the family and friends were down there. I think it was like a 40-degree day.
Yeah, right.
So we're all sweating, but it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Cool. And then I guess from there, you're sort of, you know, are you becoming a bit of a regular thing around the around Manham, or in terms of the, you know, gigs in pubs and stuff like that, or do you start to branch out at this point, or how long until you start to move away from you know, Manham pub?
I reckon that took about a year before I got out of there.
Yeah.
I just wanted to experience playing in front of people and not being so nervous that I throw up. Yeah. So then we finally got down to Adelaide. I think we did a open mic first, which is only like 15 minutes. So that was handy and good practice for me.
Whereabouts was that?
Seacliff Hotel, I think.
Oh yeah. Yep. One.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's how I got started.
Okay. So at this point, is this original? Are you like performing original stuff here? Are you doing covers, or are you doing a bit of both? What's the set looking like?
So the very first gig at the pub, we did all covers.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But I was pretty much writing originals at that point anyway.
Yeah.
It didn't really take me long to start singing that in public as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So were you, I imagine, is there a different feeling behind, okay, I'm about to perform a cover of a song and I'm about to perform an original? like the very first time? Even probably now, is it maybe?
Yeah, it is nerve-wracking, but I find because it's an original, no one's really heard it yet. So if I stuff up, no one knows.
They don't know if you're doing a bad version
of
it.
So in that way,
this is how it's meant to sound. It yeah. must sound like this.
Yeah. As long as I keep a straight face, no one knows.
So how would you describe your genre of music?
This is always the toughest question.
It is the toughest. And I feel like there's been some fluidity in the last couple of years in what I guess your sound is. I feel like it's sort of evolved a little bit in the last couple of years. But how would you describe what your sound is?
At the moment, I think it's sort of heading a little bit towards commercial, like more pop.
Yep.
I've always sort of said my music was singer-songwriter. I don't really know what that means.
I don't think anyone knows what that means. I think iTunes made it a genre like years back, and then everyone just sort of accepted, well, okay, this is a genre. Yeah. No one knows what it means, though.
Yeah, I just figured I don't know what I am, so here you go. That's what I do, so.
Because isn't everyone singer-songwriter in some way?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, I feel like everyone in every genre, almost every genre, they're like a singer and songwriter. Like,
yep, I sing, I write songs, yeah. Therefore it's singer-songwriter. Yeah,
correct. Like,
yeah, I can't go wrong with that one, so.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so if you sort of, so you've said in recent years, you're sort of sounding a little bit more commercial or pop for want of another word, I guess. Was this something that you've sort of organically moved toward, or is this something that you've kind of through mentoring or coaching or advice or whatever started to experiment with and head toward, or is this something that's just kind of naturally occurred?
It's just naturally occurred, pretty much. Every time I write a song, I have no idea what it's going to sound like. And it also depends on the producer as well, like what influences they have. I think I started off with a lot of country influence, but I didn't really want to go into that genre. I just kept being pigeonholed into that.
Yeah,
Or like folk sort of.
By yourself or other people?
By other people.
Okay.
It's just sort of what they heard in my songs and my voice, but I think my songwriting's changed a lot.
Yeah.
And now that I'm with a new producer, it's just what came out and I loved it. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we can get to this a little bit later on, but I have heard this song and I totally agree. I absolutely love your recent track.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And I agree with wherever that has come from, organically or if it's advice, I agree wholeheartedly that that is the direction I feel like you should be heading in. I think I said this to you a few weeks back when you sent me the track, but...
yeah.
But because at one time or other, I feel like, I agree that you were sort of, described to me as, by other people, as sort of folksy. That was kind of, you know, and that's another one of those singer-songwriter sort of like terms.
Yeah.
Like folksy. And it's like, okay, well, right. If you look at the genre of folk singing, like look up folk music and you get all kinds of randoms in there.
Yeah.
Now, do you...
See, that's like such a hard question because you're like, I don't really know what any of the genres mean.
Yeah. And often, I guess, people seem to overlook the themes of someone's songs and they just go toward the sound, like what you sound like, you know, like your voice and the way your music sounds or whatever the composition is, that's where they kind of base it on. But thematically, you might not have anything to do with country or folk. I mean, you're not...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're not... I don't recall many of your songs talking about working on the train line or you know, you've spent 3 months in Māori or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I teach a couple of... No, I actually don't teach them at all, but I two students that I work with, I run a student radio program with them, and they are the most country boys you can imagine. These two, they're both farming boys, and they were saying, one of them saying to me the other day that he's got, and I'll try and impersonate him poorly here because now look, mate, I've got, you know, everyone just thinks I like country music, but I, I like two genres of music, country and Western.
Yeah.
You cheeky smart.
That never gets old.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He's definitely heard some of these jokes, I think, from his old man. So you start out in the sticks, you make your way into town, you're writing originals, you're performing originals, you're also performing some covers here and there. What's the experience like for you? What am I trying to say here? What are you thinking at this time? Are you thinking, yep, this is my where I'm headed. This is my drive. Like, this is the main thing I'm focused on because in X amount of years I'm going to be here. Or is this more of a side hustle at that point in time? Sort of what are you kind of thinking about it?
I've actually just recently been asked this question.
So
yeah, so I'm working with a personal coach. She works with athletes, musicians.
Okay.
And she asked me that same question. And I think I did answer wrong because I said I would love to be globally recognized, but I'd be okay with not. And she said, no, that's not the way to look at it.
Okay.
If you want to be global, say it and you'll get there. So that's where my head's at.
Okay. You want to be global, say it.
Yeah.
That's it. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm going for it.
Righto. Yeah, because I guess where I come from with this question is, I as I said at the start, and you're the first musician I've spoken to, and I've spoken to a few actors now, and they're, they've got no qualms in saying that when they were younger in particular, they were driven by the idea of fame. The idea of fame and the idea of, not so much wealth. Wealth doesn't bother them too much, but it was it's recognition, you know, global recognition.
Yeah.
Being recognized, but obviously over time that for these people in particular, that sort of shifted for them. So you're seeing a personal coach, like a life coach sort of person?
Yeah, pretty much. She helps you achieve your goals and whatever's blocking that.
Is it Oprah?
Yes, how'd you know?
Oh my god.
Oh, I wish it was Oprah.
That's where she is.
Actually no, cut that out, no one can know that.
So how did that come about? Well, what sort of got you drove you toward seeking her out?
She's actually someone that I went to high school with, and she just kept popping up on my Facebook, and I was like, well, this sounds pretty interesting. And she actually reached out to me and so that she liked my music and if I needed help with any of it. And I was like, all right, it's meant to be, it's happening. And what a perfect time while everyone's, you know, sitting at home needing something new.
Yeah. But what were you, why did you feel you needed that? Was it, were you at a crossroad, or were you at a point where you were sort of like, where her offer kind of spiked your interest?
Well, the initial phone call was pretty much about whether she could do anything for me. And I think I have a lot of anxiety when it comes to being on stage or doing like social media, posting on social media. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I didn't really know how to get noticed. I didn't know what the steps were. And she's helping with that. She's teaching me about all the algorithms on like, you know, Instagram and stuff. So it's just, she's trying to get me out of my shell and to be, you know, it's okay to be uncomfortable. That means you're moving forward.
That's cool.
It's pretty inspiring phone call. And I was like, yeah, it's time, I think.
That's cool. Because I feel like, yeah, when you've been in the game for a certain number of years, if you fall into the trap of questioning where you're at and where you're headed and where you've been, and you can very quickly fall into this trap of, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah, like, I've been there many times.
I've got some prime real estate in that area. Yep. There, I'm building a condo out in that area. I found myself there, well, quite recently, where I've sort of been like, what am I doing? Like,
yep.
I've spent so much money on this stuff, and I'm okay skill wise. I'm further experience and skill wise. I'm further ahead than I was 10 years ago. However. Yep. I'm in the same position I was 10 years ago.
Like, yeah, pretty much the same, yeah.
Yeah, like it's been when you, I guess you feel like you've been moving horizontally for years instead of vertically. Every now and then you have these moments of weakness where you suddenly go, what am I doing? I should just stop this. And then for me personally, I sometimes say, like, I should just stop this and then just continue, just enjoy life and not, like, just not pursue this anymore, because this just seems like it's full of disappointment.
Yeah. Oh, I've been there so many times.
You know, and I look at some people that are so content, that seem so content. They're probably not content, but they seem really content. You know, like, you know, they go there, they work their 9 to 5 or whatever, and then that's it. As soon as the hits the clock, they go home, because it's not, you know, they don't get, that's not their thing. It's not where they derive any self-worth from. And then they go home and they're just happy just to chill out and play games or just watch TV or whatever it is. And they catch up with friends on the weekend and stuff like that. And they're fine with this. And sometimes I get super jealous of that, because I'm like, man, to be so content. Like,
yeah,
to be so content.
I get that.
It's like, what the fuck? They're probably not, but I feel like they are.
Yeah, well, I figure you only live once. Oh, that is such a cliche. you might as well just go for it. You know, you're the only person that's going to do it for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, you know, at least know that I've tried. So that's where I'm at the moment.
Yeah. So you said earlier on that you've wasted some money on this at some point. How did that happen? This is a hot tip for young musos that are looking to get started. I work with a bunch of them. What happened there?
Well, I went to the studio to start with, and I sort of had the songs, but we spent so much time just working on songs in the studio. So if I knew that, if I, you know, knew the song back to front before I went in there, I would have saved so much money. If I knew exactly what instruments I wanted to go on there, I would have saved more money. He sort of just kept pushing it and pushing it, saying, oh, you can do this, you can do that. And because I didn't know that much about music at the time, I was like, okay, we'll try this, we'll try that. But then I didn't like that, so there's wasted money there.
Are you paying by the hour at this point?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Studio times by the hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just so many little hidden tricks that you don't find out until it's too late. Well, not too late, but it's, you know, you've already paid shitloads of money.
Yeah.
But I'm learning all that now, so I know the little tricks to do here and there.
Yeah.
To save money. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Because I hear, like, it sounds wanky, but I always hear musicians, particularly in the hip-hop genre. So I'm a hip-hop head. I love hip-hop music. But you often hear them talk about, like, I've got a vision and I know exactly what I want. I walk in, I put it down, I walk out. And I wonder if that's actually stemmed from, I go in there to save money and I come out. Like, like I've got my vision because I go in there, I know exactly what I want. Don't you try and make this deviate from this. And, you know, that over years of doing that, it becomes like not so much like I'm trying to be thrifty, but more like I've got a vision. Like,
well, that's actually what I'm doing now. The new songs that are coming out, we did that in one day, me and the producer.
Yeah, that's unreal.
Like, yeah, each song, one day each. I was just like, oh, this is amazing.
Who's your producer? Give him a, shout him out.
Joe from Island Records.
Joe from Island Records.
Island Studios.
Whereabouts is Island Studios located?
Pasadena.
It's not a fucking island.
In LA.
Where did that come from? Island. Does he explain when that's come from?
Nah.
All right, you need to hit him up for me. I want to get him on here. I want to talk to a producer next, and I want to ask him specifically, where this come from, man? Yeah, I mean, it sounds so tropical and exotic, but it's Pasadena. Which does kind of sound exotic, but
it does sound a bit exotic, actually.
Yeah. So how long have you been working with him?
Since I think November.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm lucky that I got the two songs in before lockdown. So
yeah, absolutely. And how'd you come by him? Did you know him, or did you find him? How'd that happen?
I think for a friend of a friend, and then I asked him to play keyboard in one of my gigs, and yeah, really nice guy, and yeah, so he just said, you know, come in, record some songs, and yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, well, that's unreal that you recorded those two. I've only heard one of the two, I think, in like one day. That's unreal because it's a great sounding song, and it's like, well, if you could do that in one day, imagine how many other cool things you could do in one freaking day. Like,
yeah. Well, actually, the last studio that I was at, LA Recording Studios, I learned a lot from him as well. Like, he taught me about the industry, a lot about music in general, like the theory of music. So that was pretty, like, really helpful. I think that was a good stepping stone for me is in music as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any formal training in music?
I think like I did a little bit of guitar in high school.
Oh, wow. Okay. So just a little bit of guitar.
Just a little bit.
My God. I mean, I did a little bit of guitar in high school, but I'm not a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, I don't really know the theory side of things. They're just, you know, oh, that sounds all right. And then I have to ask someone, what chord is this?
Yeah. So where'd your guitar playing, where'd your talent come from? Do either of your parents, or do you got anyone in your family that is a muso?
No.
Really?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Huh.
I don't know where that came from.
Where do they come from?
Am I adopted? No,
Look, I'm not saying you should get a DNA test, but I think you should get a DNA test. As soon as you hang up this phone call, you're just going to go like, yeah, I got a question, guys.
Well, my dad loves music.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot of my influences were from the music that he's showed me. But he can't sing or play, so I don't know where that came from.
He's an enthusiast. So, okay, so who are your influences, by the way? So you said your dad was playing your music and stuff and you learned a lot through that. So when you think of your you know, your top three influences in music, who are they?
I was thinking about this question the other day. I think my influences don't necessarily show in the music that I'm making now. Because,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, dad showed me 70s, you know, rock, like Cheap Trick and
yeah.
Although dope. Great bands, love yep. them. Like, so I'll rock out to them in the lounge room.
Yeah.
and I think I sort of was trying to copy that for a while. Mm. But then I sort of got to the point where the music that I'm making doesn't have to necessarily be what I listen to.
Yeah.
Because I also love, I love movies and TV shows. And I love just how the music can completely change your perspective on things, like whatever scene you're watching.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love like that sort of music that makes you feel things. So that's sort of what I've done recently. It just happens. I never say, okay, it's going to be this genre, it's going to be sound like this. It just comes out that way.
Is there any bands or artists that you kind of like you find you're listening to more often in your life than ever? if I look at my most played, like it's going to be a couple of artists. I know it's going to be a couple of artists.
Well, actually, my favorite song is 13 by Big Star. And it's because I don't actually listen to Big Star, but I just love that song for some reason. And it pops up in TV shows, and it's just like, oh, every time it comes on, I'm like, yes, I feel things.
I can feel.
But that song is just so simple. It's just a guy singing an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so simple, but I just love it. Although I think, you know, the artist Rhodes?
Oh, yeah, yep.
Yeah, I think he sort of has a little bit of an influence on the sound that we're doing recently.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. I guess for a lot of musicians, I mean, their influences would change over time, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you start to change direction in your music, or if you change, not so much change genre, but you change sound within a genre, you would obviously go and look at different source material and listen to different bands and artists and sort of channel that for a bit, or be like, yeah, I really love this style, I'm digging this, so I'm gonna sort of do something kind of like this for a bit. And yeah, I imagine it's like fluid.
Yeah, well, like, depends what mood I'm in is what music I'll listen to. If I'm like, oh, I feel sad, I want to listen to sad stuff, or like, no, I want to go out and party, I want to listen to this stuff.
Well, you listen to if you're angry. Yeah. What's your angry mix?
I don't know, I've never actually. Sometimes I listen to Bob Marley to calm me if I'm angry. Actually, Could You Be Loved by Bob Marley is my ringtone, and it has been since, I think, primary school.
Yeah, right. I knew a teacher that, I'm just going to put it out there, he's a teacher, that would, if he'd had a bad day, he'd get in his car and he'd crank Killing in the Name Of, which is fucking terrible to be playing out your windows as you drive out of a school car park.
Yeah, probably not a good look.
Yeah. But he didn't give a shit.
That's awesome.
So what's your... you mentioned before, like, you love movies and television, and you know, you really love the use of music and stuff like that. What's your favorite? What's your best, like, movie music moment? Can you think of one? Everyone's got. I can cut out the dead air while you think of one, but because everyone's got one where it's like, man, that scene was so good, and it's largely because of the music.
Yeah, it always is. Have you seen The 100?
No, I don't think I have.
It's a sci-fi, I think it's a Canadian show, but it's actually, I think some of the main characters are Australian, which I think is pretty cool.
Okay.
It's heaps far in the future. The world's, you know, been blown up pretty much, and they've been living in,
the way things are headed.
Yeah, pretty much. They've been living in space for 100 years until Earth, you could go back to Earth and the air would have been clear enough to live.
Okay.
But to test it, they send 100 kids down that are prisoners to see if it's, livable.
Okay, yep, sweet.
Yeah, one of those sort of shows.
It's like Wall-E, but with kids.
Yeah. So it's definitely not what I'd call a funny show. It's pretty serious and gruesome in some points. I don't want to give away anything, but someone dies and the song plays and I'm just like, oh, I feel that.
Just a good death scene thanks to music.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
I think it's called Clouds, but I cannot remember who it's by.
Oh yeah, okay. I'm just thinking at the moment about, like, just then you said that about the death scene and music. Do you remember The OC?
Yes.
My God. Is it Marissa's death at the end? Spoiler alert, if you didn't know Marissa died because you haven't seen The OC, you're fucking what? Wake up. Okay, it's 15 years since that show ended, okay? But doesn't he, I feel like she dies to the song Hallelujah.
Yep.
That is the worst choice of music for a death scene, because are we celebrating her death? Like, Hallelujah. She dead. Like, it's the worst choice. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the show, and for some reason I found myself watching, like, the season finale, and that happened. I'm like, what is this show? What is happening in this show? I need to go back and watch.
Well, that's probably why they did it.
Exactly. But I just remember when those opening chords start playing, you're like, hold up, I don't know what's happening here. Oh wow. Okay, the 100. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Something I couldn't watch again though, because actually that's a lie. I watched it again, but because it's like so on the edge of your seat. If when you know what's happening, it's not as exciting.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
That's cool. I'm sitting here just like trying to think of other examples from movies and TV and stuff where the music has just been like a really on point. Like whoever their person behind the scenes is, that's the music supervisor or whatever it is, like they've earned their money. Like I'm just trying to think of some. I mean, there's always the go to examples of like, you know, everyone always goes, oh, Reservoir Dogs, we're stuck in the middle with you. You know, it's iconic and all that sort of stuff. But
and the Breakfast Club at the end there.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, as I was saying, the Reservoir Dogs was iconic. I then also just pictured the guy putting his hand in the air from Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely iconic.
Yeah. I feel like we've moved away from... Like, I feel like in the 80s, almost every movie had a piece of music written for it, like an iconic pop rock song was written for the movie. I feel like we've moved away from that now. I kind of miss
it. Yeah, I do too, actually.
Like, when you think about, like, was it, like, You're the Best from Karate Kid, like, and, what was the one from St. Elmo's Fire, where it's Man in Motion or Man on Fire? I can't remember what it was, but, you know, like, you hear those, you know, freaking Danger Zone from Top Gun. Like, these songs, like, you know, written for those movies. And I think it's time to bring it back. I think it's time to bring back the movie with a piece of music that's been written for the movie, you know, so we can start to get some awesome shit out.
Should we start a petition?
I think we should. You can start a petition on everything now. So.
All right, I'm signing.
Speaking of petitions, you mentioned earlier on about your social media stuff and that you had some anxiety around social media. Was this anxiety around putting your stuff out there, or was this anxiety around keeping up your presence?
Both, actually.
Okay.
Because I don't normally in moments think, oh, I have to get a photo of this.
Yeah,
It just sort of happens, and then I'm like, oh, shit, should I get a photo?
Yeah, gotcha.
And it's also you put yourself out there on social media, you have people that can, you know, put you down for it. I think that's always going to be a scary part of it. So I'm just sort of learning not to think about it.
Have you had that happen to you, or is it the fear of it happening?
I think it's the fear of it happening. I think once it actually does happen, then I know I've made it, because someone, you know, someone actually wants to put me down. I'm like, yes, I'm making it.
Yeah.
You're jealous.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, you just dissed the shit out of me. I've made it.
This has been the best day ever.
Yeah. Thank you, random weirdo. Okay, yeah, because I can definitely understand that, the fear of the fear of when putting stuff out there, and then the fear of not keeping up your, like, maintaining a presence online, and that, you know, for some reason, like, I seem to think, like, oh no, people know that I'm not active online. But I don't think people actually know or give a shit. Like, you know, I feel like everyone just accepts the algorithm now. And so, you know, they don't even actually think that they haven't seen your stuff in a while. Like, I posted this thing about the podcast, like, the other week on my Middle Ground, like, Facebook page. And that was the first time I had posted since, like, April last year. And I'm like, oh, wow. I was like, oh, shit. Like, I was like, whoops. And then it crossed my mind of, like, if I post something now, will people see it and go, geez, I forgot I followed that guy's page. Haven't heard from him in a year. He's obviously gone nowhere. Unfollow. And then I thought, well, why do I even care? If like, you know what I mean? Like, it was all that ran through my head with a split second before I hit, like, publish.
Yeah, I get that. Oh, the thoughts that run through your head before you press send, and then you think, you know, no one actually cares. No one's thinking what you think.
Yeah, no one gives a shit. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's weird. Like, we seem to concoct this whole scenario in our head, So with negative feedback and stuff like that with music. So you were sort of saying it was more around the fear of the potential for negative feedback. Is that what you were saying before? Yeah. So, I feel like sometimes, and I'm curious as to whether it's the same for you, but I feel like sometimes the fear of negative feedback, it's like two prongs, right? There's the fear of someone saying, next time you should do it like this. Now, I've had that, right? I've had some fucking losers sort of reach out and, you know, not say anything else, not do anything, just go, your sound was crap. You know, and just stuff like that. You're like, well, thank you so much for that.
Thanks for your time.
Exactly. Thank you so much for that. I'm glad that you like just spent the time to type that to me. But there's that side of things. But then I also have sometimes the fear around not getting a negative response, but not getting the response I thought I was going to get.
Yeah, I get that.
Do you ever experience that? Like,
I have many times.
How do you be cool with that? But it's okay if you're not cool with it still, because I have spent quite a number of years not being cool with that.
Oh, I'm definitely not cool with that, but you just gotta do it anyway.
Yeah, gotcha.
So however you want to deal with it, have a beer afterwards or whatever makes you feel better.
Yeah. Start a podcast where you talk to other people and see if they experience the same problems.
Yeah, pretty much.
they're on to me. Yeah, because it's like, it's kind of like that thing where, you know, nine out of 10 people can say positive stuff to you, and the 10th person says something negative. Now, you don't give a shit about the 9 other people. You only focus on the one person that said negative shit, right? Now, that's so true for me. And I feel that's kind of, it works in a similar way to this, you know, fear of like, I'm going to put this stuff out there. And while I might not get negative feedback, if this doesn't kind of get the response I thought it was going to get, that's basically like people, you know, that one person telling me it was shit. Like,
yeah. Like, I don't know why, but I think everyone just does it. I don't know how to stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's about just continually putting stuff out there. But I guess, yeah, I don't know. I feel like for this, there has to be an element of, well, fuck it. Like,
yeah, that's pretty much what I say before every post.
Yeah.
Fuck it, press it, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, sometimes I, like, will type it, and then I will, like, I'll dangle my, like, thumb over the button, and I'll just wait for a second, and sometimes I'll look away, and I'll just randomly strike the phone, and if I hit the button and it posted, then so be it. And if I,
and it's if, meant to be.
Yeah, exactly. And if I didn't hit it, I give it another go. which tells me I want to press it. Like, I don't get it why I do it. It's stupid.
Hey, if it works, then why not?
It works. It's how this whole podcast came to be.
Well, that's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, type this massive long message out that I want to send to a bunch of people. And if I hit send, then I am now locked into doing this. And hit send. Oh, no, I said send.
I think mine is, if I press send, I'll be able to watch the next episode. If I don't press send, I can't. Turn it off.
So you've made quite a few, you've recorded quite a few tracks, you obviously would probably know more musicians than I know, is the getting into a studio and recording some stuff, is that a common thing for musicians to be doing? Or, because it seems like there's so many people that are just uploading their stuff online. Like, not actually cut and mastered recordings of themselves. I'm just going to film myself in my bedroom performing my song and put it out there into the big wide world, regardless of quality and all that sort of stuff.
Well, I like quality.
Yeah.
So, I mean, recording, getting it professionally done does cost money, and if you're a struggling musician, that's hard to do. So you sort of just want to get noticed. Mm-hmm. And I guess a lot of people that don't really know much about sound quality and what recording gear you need, they won't really notice.
Yeah.
Everything's online these days, and people want to know who you are as a person to be able to like your music. So that's pretty much how to get out there these days.
Yeah.
So the recording side of it isn't, you know, integral at the beginning. Isn't, you know, you don't need to do that straight away. Yeah, I think I'm just a little bit of a perfectionist, so I like good sound.
So the irony of this is while you're talking to me about like how you like good quality sound, I'm getting like the worst interference from my cord at the moment. and I'm like, oh man, people are going to hear her talk about sound quality and then they're going to get this like, sound in the background and it's going to be like my shitty cable over here. Hang on, I'm just give me a second. I'm just going to try and work out what is going on here. It's a very temperamental cable and I'm annoyed at it, but hang on.
If it makes you feel better, I don't judge. This is just my own personal.
Okay, all right, cool. If I literally hold my phone here, it works. Well, I'm just going to hold...
Technology.
Yeah, I'm just going to hold my phone, but I bet you if I bend my elbow, it'd be like, no. All right, I'm going to hold my phone there. Okay, and we're back. Technical problem sorted out right off the back of you talking about how you like audio quality. And then my cable decides to go and screw itself. Anyway, so back to what we were saying. So, So we were talking a little bit about, I guess, artists that run, you know, sort of run online and put their stuff out there. And I guess they're just... they're focusing on quantity, and then artists that sort of go straight to the studio and craft their sound and get advice, get support, get guidance, and produce a high quality record. And I guess they're going for quality, you know, talking about cliched phrases of quantity over quality over quantity. So I guess you know, for the YouTube uploader or whatever it is, it's, I feel like maybe they're not experiencing as much anxiety then around putting stuff out there, because they're putting stuff out there so frequently that if they don't get the response they thought, well, who cares? I'm uploading something else next week. If they get negative criticism or whatever it is, well, okay, fine, I'll have something else out next week though. Whereas for the artist that goes, I guess, down your path, that does spend quite a long time and money and emotional and physical investment in you know, producing a record of, you know, maybe five or six songs or whatever, and then you put the, you know, you go through all the build up to it, and then you put the thing out there, and if it doesn't get the, you know, I imagine the anxiety around that is massive compared to the hard and fast YouTuber.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know how, like, how do you deal with that? Do you just drink yourself silly? Like, how do you deal with that? It's okay if you do.
It's actually, you just, how you described it then, is I've just been like, oh my God, what have I been doing? what did I do?
No, that's not the point of this podcast.
No, I get it. Learn from my mistakes, people.
It's not Matt gets real with artists.
I guess that's sort of why I haven't moved forward as quickly as I've wanted to, because anxiety does stop me from doing a lot. And it is heartbreaking when you put a song out there and nothing really happens. So I do like sometimes have a little bit of a break after that, just to be like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You can still, you know, feed it. You just need to do it differently. But yeah. I should have just gone straight on to the, you know, social media and post and post and post until someone's like, oh, that sounds good. And like, yeah, right, I'm doing that. I'm recording that.
Yeah. But the difficulty in that though, is that there are millions of people. Like,
oh yeah,
there's millions of people on YouTube uploading their music every day, isn't there? They have to be.
I think it's a lot to do with luck as well. Just has to, the right person has to hear your song, and then, but I think quantity, I think the algorithms or whatever, the more you post, the more people see it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like if you post once a week or whatever, you're not at the top. You don't get seen by as many people.
Yeah, right. And if you're like me and you post once every year.
Yeah.
You might as well just use Google Drive and send a link to people.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's just something that I've been taught recently. So I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense. So now I'm just posting, and she said to me, my coach, that it is quantity over quality at this moment. So I'm just posting. And it's true. I've been getting more interactions with people. More people are seeing my stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only been a couple of weeks and I really noticed a difference. So I was like, oh, shit, why wasn't I doing this earlier?
Yeah, right. So that's because I have noticed that you've been posting, you've been posting more recordings of yourself doing covers and stuff.
Yes. And that was scary for me because it wasn't professionally recorded.
Well, I wouldn't call anything I do as professionally recording it though. You know my situation, but you want a film crew and you get one dude with a camera. Okay, so you just recorded it yourself, yeah?
Yeah. I bought awesome. One of those microphones that just like plug into your phone.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
I was like, well, this sounds all right. And so I just put it up there and people weren't, you know, saying, oh, shit quality. They're actually like, oh, this sounds really good. I'm like, oh. Yeah, right.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Yes, you're right. It does. Wow. Cause yeah. That's awesome. So is that sort of like a bit of a new direction now for you? Is that quantity over quality? Well, not over quality, but quality is always there. I feel like that's something you probably are not going to be able to let go of because I think you said earlier on, you're a perfectionist with this sort of stuff. As I imagine a lot of musicians are, but quantity is something that you're adopting now.
Yes, definitely. And trying not to be so worried about every single post, like, oh, shit, no one liked that one. It doesn't matter. Just keep going pretty much. That's what I've been trying to tell myself all the time. Yeah. And that's what the coach does. She helps get that negative thoughts out and saying, you know what, it's all right. We'll get them next time.
Yeah, I feel like I'm glad that some social media platforms are waking up to the idea of, you know, removing the public likes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's removed 50% of the burden. Like,
although I think Facebook has it back again.
Oh, does it? Yeah. I'm actually on Facebook, so I wouldn't even know. No one likes my shit, so I wouldn't even know. But okay. That's weird.
Yeah, I think it's back. Which was like, damn it.
That's weird because they own Instagram, but they've kept it off of Instagram now, which is good. It removes 50% of the burden because you still see how many people did or didn't give a shit and that still weighs on you. But
no one else knows. But, like, you just need two people and it's like this person and others. Like, yes, there's others.
Exactly. So people that look at it, you know, don't know if it was just, you know, you and your mum or if it was 100,000 people. Like, no one knows.
I'm going to pretend I was 100,000.
Exactly. Whereas YouTube, I think, need to sort of catch up to this and try and work out something here because their transparency is crippling for people. It's like the analytics behind YouTube videos. Like, I don't even look at them now. I can't look at analytics behind videos and stuff that I upload because, you know, there's that the I've said this to someone else in another episode. I'm not sure if this will come out before or after it, but there's this like nasty little analytic that tells you what time people stopped watching on average. What time?
Oh my god!
I know it is a horrible little. Don't you dare go looking for it, Emma.
That is soul crushing.
It is. Don't ever look for it. It is soul crushing. Like to look at a video that is 15 minutes long or 25 minutes long, and it says the average time that people stopped watching was 3 minutes 48. You go, oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah, and you go, well, what was happening in that 3 minutes 48? What happened in the lead-up to that? What didn't they like? Did they not like my script, my sound, my videography, my acting? Was it my visual effect? What did they not? Was it too slow? Was it too fast? What didn't they like? Anyway, I realize that is just a real quick way to... It's basically just like waving a T-bone at the black dog to come and like chase you down and get you all depressed. So I no longer give a shit about YouTube's analytics.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm not even going to go looking for it.
Don't. It's soul crushing. Don't even bother.
Oh, that sounds horrible. It's like a horror movie.
Yeah, exactly. You could make a horror movie about it. Someone being spending there all day like anxious and worried and it's all because they're going home to check their analytics of their video they uploaded. Oh, man. So, okay, so that's cool because I saw some covers that you were doing the other day. I really liked the Elvis one you did.
Thank you.
Just refresh my memory, which Elvis one it was? It was
Can't Help Falling in Love.
That's the one. Can't Help Falling in Love. Yep, I had the tune in my head, but I couldn't remember the lyric. Awesome. Yeah, that was really good. I liked it.
Thank you.
And you seemed to get a pretty good response for it.
Yeah, I did actually. It's actually funny. I spent all day trying to get a good take of that because I wanted it to be start to finish. And I was just trying and I got so fed up with it. And I'm like, oh, I'll do it one more time. And that was the take I chose.
Oh, how many times would that happen to people? Like, you know, when you remove the pressure and be like, you know what, fuck it, I'm doing this one more time and that's it. This is the one. I'm never going to bother looking at the rest. And it ends up being your best take.
I know. Why can't I do this at the beginning?
Exactly. What the hell, brain? You betrayed me. Yeah, you're at war. Yeah. You're at war with yourself all the time. I keep telling. No, yeah. Go on.
What were you saying? I was just saying it got some good feedback, so I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's unreal. I keep telling people, you know, like the journey to creativity is full of people that will try and get in your way. Don't let you be one of them. It's like it seems like, you know, we are our own first obstacle.
Oh, definitely. Our worst critics are ourselves, isn't that the saying?
Absolutely. I'm atrocious. I'm basically David and Margaret on myself. So let's talk about good response here. So what's it like doing music in Adelaide? Because this whole podcast came about through, and the name of the podcast is 12,000 Ks from Hollywood, and this is purely to do with my situation where I'm practicing a craft that is traditionally known as a Hollywood type thing. Filmmaking, it's America, it's Hollywood, it's got that, you know, if you want to make it big, you go to Hollywood, all that sort of shit, right?
Yeah.
And so the whole podcast came about through, I'm literally 12,000 kilometers from Hollywood and I'm on the outskirts trying to do this thing. In a city that's probably not known for being mega cool with film at all. But I feel like Adelaide's, from an outsider's perspective, I feel like we've got a pretty good thing going on with Adelaide music.
Well, I was going to say the same thing about film. Haven't we had a few movies and that filmed out here?
We have recently, yes.
Yeah.
People have realised we have got some of the most unspoilt land in the world.
Yeah, well, did they, the new, oh, what's his name? He's Harry Potter.
Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah.
They filmed here, Pretoria, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah. They were filming... Yeah, it's like what's it called? It's not the Chinese action show. There's another one. Yeah, I think it's South African or it's Afrikaans.
Yeah, so they're using our land as African, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And the amount of times I've driven out, like, you know, you're familiar with Manham, but the amount of times I've driven out between from Manham to Cambrai and Sudan, and you just look out and you go, you know, this could be Savannah. Yeah. Like this dead set is West Africa.
yeah, pretty much.
That's cool. But okay, so what's Adelaide music like though? Like how have you found it?
It is a lot smaller than obviously the rest of Australia, or not rest of Australia, but Sydney and Melbourne. Because it's smaller and there's a lot of musicians here, it is harder just to get gigs because everyone's competing for it.
Right.
But we have actually got a lot of talent here. And I love that the Hilltop Hoods, you know, came from here as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And TK.
Yes. But I also think, well, I don't really know what genre I am. We've discussed that.
Singer-songwriter.
I'm finding it a little bit harder to find where I fit in here.
Yeah, okay.
The gigs that I've, with the original music that I've been able to get are with friends, and they're like, yeah, come play gigs with me. But I haven't found really anyone that's in the same genre as me.
Right.
So that I'm still searching for that, and I don't know if it is in Adelaide, but Adelaide's really supportive anyway of all music. Like Music SA is doing pretty good things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not sure where us fit in just yet.
That's interesting that you say there's a lot of competition in Adelaide. Because I was going to ask if I guess, you know, it's a pretty supportive community in Adelaide, or if it's got its pockets, or what your experience has been like with that, or have you just kind of been on the fringe the whole time?
Pretty much the whole time on the fringe. but yeah, there is a lot of musicians here that do cover gigs. So, you know, all the musicians play in pubs for a few hours doing covers.
Yeah.
And that's sort of just the same musicians over and over again. And it's hard to get in to that company.
To break into that.
Yeah. Yeah. The Hurley Group, they put me on. So like Madam, I get Pretoria gigs as well.
Yeah.
But besides that, yeah, it's been pretty hard for me to try to get gigs around here.
Right. That's interesting. I didn't realize that it was difficult to get gigs in Adelaide.
Well, it might not be for other people. Just me.
Okay. So when you said that there's you don't know many people in I guess your genre. Are we talking that sort of like that unknown genre that you kind of exist in at the moment?
Yes, yeah, the unknowns.
Okay, all right.
The outsiders.
All right, outsiders. If you people are listening to this podcast and you're not quite sure what genre you belong to either, and you want to chat with Em, we'll put her contact details in the show notes here, and you can hit her up and go, "Hey, I'm on the fringe as well.
Please message me."
Because the genre is unknown. Your image, you've kind of crafting a bit of a... Well, I feel like you've been crafting your image, but has that changed a little bit? Like, at one time or other, I kind of was picking up the tradie vibe, and at one time or other, yes, definitely the folksy vibe. I feel like there's been a bit of a beach vibe somewhere in there as well. Like, are you sort of experimenting with some different things here, or is this just, like, the mishmash that is you?
I think that's all me. I'm still a tradie. I like beach. I like the river. I love the country. I love traveling. I love the city. Yeah.
Awesome. So if there's any other mishmashes out there, hit Emma up.
Yes, I need friends.
So, what's been your best experience so far as a musician? What's been your best moment?
Best moment
or a highlight? What's a highlight? What's been a highlight for you?
I think it was 2016. I went and did a festival. I think it was called Uberfest. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I have heard of it.
Yeah. Well, you can pick, it's all around Australia, but you can pick which gigs you want to do. So I chose Melbourne and Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
We drove over to Melbourne and I played a festival there, and it was just so much fun. And there's just so many different types of music, which I liked, obviously. And everyone was so supportive and like loved music, had people dancing. I got given my first interview straight after that as well.
Wow.
Yeah, I just loved it.
It's kind of like the musician experience. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're traveling out somewhere, you're performing for a crowd, you're getting a great response, you get interviewed afterward. It's like the complete package.
Yeah, I felt professional.
Yeah. It's like, yes, I want this. I want this over and over.
Yes.
That's cool. That's cool. So where was that in Melbourne? You said there was that like actually in the city, or was that outside?
I think it was in St Kilda.
Oh yeah, yep, down near the docks there.
Yeah, I can't remember the pub, but it was fun. I think it was a British pub.
Of course.
Yeah.
Naturally. Yeah. that would have gone off then.
Yeah, it did actually.
Oh, that's cool. So, okay, so if that's been an absolute highlight, have you had any, and you could tiptoe around it if you want, have you had any crap experiences that you've kind of learnt from or that you've been able to sort of get some self-advice from that could be helpful for other people?
I've had a few gigs where just, you look around and you realize that no one's listening.
Oh, no. Really?
And it's like, oh, I finished a song. Okay, no one's clapping. All right. But I think for me, I shouldn't have let that get to me. Like, I think you could tell in my face that I was disappointed.
Okay, yeah.
If you just keep, you know, pushing through and just have the time of your life, maybe someone will turn around and see, oh, she's having fun. I might go watch that.
Yeah.
So it's no matter how crap you think the gig is, just have fun with it and, you know, you might get lucky.
Yeah, okay. So was it one of those sort of sets where you were kind of just like, is it the house band the right term? Just like where you're sort of performing in the background and people are going about the thing? Or is this actually like a thing where people were coming to see a show like with some different acts or?
It's happened as background music and as, you know, doing my original music, like you're there for a gig.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, what a kick.
Yeah. Well, I think they just wanted to, you know, go to the pub and get drunk. And they're like, I don't care who's singing. But, all right.
Yeah,
you come to the wrong place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, look, I'm glad for you, but like, you have no idea what's riding on the line here for me.
Yeah. It's good you're having fun. Live your life, but do it somewhere else.
Yeah. So how do you bounce back from things like that? Like, how do you take a break for a while, or did you get straight back into it afterward? Like, what goes on in your mind there?
I've had a few, like, maybe I don't want to do this anymore. I don't enjoy it. I think you just got to push past that. I'm like, I love playing music. So yeah, and I did it again. It's like, get back on the horse, so to speak. And the next gig was great. So I just keep thinking, all right, this one sucks, but maybe the next one will be better.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So what's next for you, Em? Where are you? You've mentioned you've got a couple of tracks now recorded. What's coming up in the next? For the remainder of the dismal 2020, what's coming up for you?
June 5th, I'm releasing one of the first song from the new studio.
Island Studios.
Yes. Yep.
My man.
Island. so releasing that soon. So I'm in the middle of getting everything ready for that release. And then, depending where everyone is, I'll release the one that I showed you.
Yes.
Probably September-ish.
Okay. We're shooting a video for that still?
Yes, please.
All right, I've just locked you in.
Well, it all depends, like, where we're at with this virus, if we're allowed to the pubs and stuff, if it's big. Yeah, we'll see how it goes, but it'll definitely be this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I love that song. I think I'm pumping it up now for people to put you on their radar. Because I no word of a lie here. I played it to Jade. I hope you don't mind. I played it to Jade, and was like, in all seriousness, I'm like, this song is really fucking good.
Oh, that's the best compliment ever.
I've listened to it several more times since then. So look, people need to keep an eye out for that, and I guess it's definitely something that you can definitely chalk up as a win here with this sort of stuff here. So hey, at one point or other, you had some support or like guidance from interstate, yeah? Did you have someone like that was sort of helping or doing some stuff for you interstate, or did I just come out of nowhere with that?
I don't think so. I don't think interstate.
Was it interstate? I feel like you had a not a manager, not a producer. Like
I had a promoter.
A guru. Okay, a promoter. Cool. Okay, I was like, a guru?
What are they called? Yeah, they helped me with, I think, some of my tracks last year, which actually got me Triple J play.
Okay.
I think it was played at Midnight, but it still counts.
Still counts. Still counts. The best tweakers in the world are listening to Triple J at Midnight.
Yes.
Which track which track was that?
Actually, Head Higher and Stronger have both been played.
Oh, sweet. That's cool.
Yeah. So the promoter does help, but they're also so much money. But there is a new thing that I'm looking into to help with the next few releases that my producer actually told me about. So I'll let you know if that works. If it does, then I'll promote it.
Okay.
And I don't want to promote it now and be like, oh, we didn't work.
Yeah, true. If it doesn't work, we'll have to do a retraction episode. Where yeah. Just wanted to retract a statement made in May. We didn't go with it. It was shit. Yeah, right. So you're not with this promoter anymore?
No.
Okay.
But he did help. I think it's just a bit too much money.
Okay, so I was going to ask if that's something you would recommend musos look into or not look into, you know, especially if they're sort of starting out, to sort of steer clear of that or you know.
They're very helpful, so you know how to do it. But it is very possible to do it on your own.
Okay.
And there's apps, you know, platforms now that help with it. You just have to know where to look.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of like that with film and stuff. I think when YouTube and Vimeo came out, it was like an instant distribution platform for filmmakers. They didn't need any of the middleman sort of people that would like take your product and take it to studios or take it to distributors to, you know, get deals and shit like that. You can just put it out there yourself.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I guess
to all the promoters out there. I'm not trying to get rid of your jobs.
Well, I was just about to say though, with promoters, I guess a large thing that you're paying for is their experience.
Because
I imagine that they're pretty, pretty knowledgeable and pretty skilled and rich in experience and that like street smart sort of stuff. And I imagine that's what you're paying for.
Yeah, but it also doesn't guarantee that your song's going to make it.
Oh, yeah, no, it doesn't guarantee anything.
nothing at all, really.
You can promote the crap out of it and no one listens to it. And it's like, well, great, that was...
Yeah, but it is handy when you're starting out, so you know, like, how to write your bio, what, you know, platforms you have to get the attention of. Yeah. Yes and no.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. That's fair. That's fair enough. So who's in your team at the moment? You've got Island Studios. Have you got anyone else in your team? That sort of.
No, I've actually this year pretty much lost everyone from the team. Just got Joe. Thank you, Joe.
Just got Joe. That's a good. That's a good song name, right there. Just got Joe.
Just got Joe.
Just got Joe.
It's pretty catchy.
Yeah. Just got Joe.
Yeah. Well, so I say my mum's name, so that works.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. That's fantastic. That's perfect.
Yeah, but I'm still getting help from my old studio as well. He's helping get my music out there when I release it as well. So it's nice to have some people in my corner.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes so much difference when you feel like you've got some backers and some supporters in your corner.
That
are still there even after things haven't quite gone how it was planned. You know what I mean? Like, I've had lots of people that I've crossed paths with and done bits and pieces with, and I've probably got a core group that are still there, and still, if I was to say I wanted to do something, they would probably do it tomorrow, sort of thing. And that means that kind of keeps me going with my creative stuff, because if I felt like, you know, I'd burnt every bridge and no one wanted to work with me anymore, I'd be like, oh man, I am shit.
Isn't it so sad that we need support?
Yeah, I know. Like, it just feels so needy.
Yeah, I know.
Why is it being creative is just so needy?
I'm a strong, independent woman, damn it.
Exactly, and I'm a strong, independent woman. I just... Yeah, that's the hardest thing. I think I said, I reckon in my very, very first like episode on this, I was talking about how a lot of people talk around creativity, and that it's often seen by some people as a bit of a choice, like, well, you're bored, why don't you do something creative? And it's just, but for a lot of people, and I imagine yourself included, that it's not a choice to be creative, it's like a necessity.
Yeah,
for you,
it's like breathing.
Exactly, like you need it. And have you had any experiences like where you've been away from it for quite a while and it's actually started to affect you? Like,
oh, definitely. I don't have an outlet anymore.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm writing music, sometimes I like finish a song, I'm like, I didn't know I felt that way.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if I'm not making film, I instantly feel like a dip coming, like a decline coming. I'm heading downhill now, and I'll do some stuff like riding or whatever it is to try and like keep me sort of like hanging in there. But you know, unless I feel like I'm about to film this thing, the descent is slowed, but I'm still descending. In terms of my like, you know, steadily declining mental health, like I feel, you know, and so, and then when all this coronavirus sort of stuff came out, I was like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? Like, I could hit rock bottom here, you know. So I'm like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna start a fucking podcast.
great idea.
But yeah, I definitely feel that it's a necessity for me. So do you feel a similar way?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like as soon as it stops, it's like, who am I? What am I doing?
Exactly. It's my identity. I poured so much stuff into this now. This is what I'm known for. If I don't do this, what am I?
Who am I?
Exactly. Who am I? Well, thanks for talking to me tonight, Em. It's been a really good chat.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Yeah. I'll have to have you back on when you're
famous.
When you're famous.
Positive thinking.
Yeah, that is fantastic. I was going to say when your next couple of tracks come out, but yeah, let's go with when you're famous. Oh, that's really good. So where can people find you? Where can people connect with you, check out your stuff? Where can that all happen?
Just Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, even though I don't know how to use Twitter, I'm on there.
Fair enough.
I'm on YouTube. I think that's it.
People just punch in River Lane?
Yes, just River Lane. Two words.
Two words. There we go.
Two words, River Lane. I'm also on Snapchat, but that's a personal use.
Yeah. Don't hit Em up on Snapchat because she's not interested. She just
that's not for you.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me tonight. It's been a really good chat. I've learned a lot about being a muso in Adelaide, and not that I was ever planning to be a muso in Adelaide, but I've learned heaps.
Let's start a band.
Famous last words. I feel like I would go off if I was in like a lip syncing cover band. I would be fine. I'd be so good.
I see that actually. I would see that.
Oh, 100%. I would just, you know, I would just tear the fucking roof down. But as soon as you have to sing or play an instrument, I'm out. I'm an enthusiast like your dad. Well, thank you very much, Emma Schluter, aka River Lane. We'll chuck all the ways to find you into the show notes. I hope you've learned something tonight. If you have learned something tonight, you want to know more about Em, check out all of her stuff, hit her up and start a conversation. If you're on the fringe, if you're a musician on the fringe, a mishmash of genres and identity,
yes, message me.
hit her up, but not on Snapchat.
Yes, so. no Snapchat.
You've been listening to 12,000 Ks from Hollywood. My name is Matt Taylor. We'll catch you next time. Thank you very much.